I want you to think about when you first decided that you needed to become a Christian. Why did you make that decision? Of course, everyone became a decision because they believed in what the Bible said, and it said, this is what you have to do. And they said, I believe that's true, so I guess I have to do it. But at the same time, everyone at one point, they decided, this is something that really matters to me, and I have to become a Christian today. And we can look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where they talk about how all Christians, they've been delivered from the power of darkness, and they've been called into the kingdom of God. And, of course, that's why everyone became a Christian, right? Because they wanted to leave the power of darkness. They wanted to leave sin. They wanted to escape the wages of sin. But at the same time, everyone had something that made them decide, right now, at this moment, I need to change my life. But after becoming a Christian, what do you do? Well, we also know, just like the Bible says, that we have to live faithfully. In 1 John 1:7, we're told about continuing to live in the light. And in Revelation 2:10, we're told about being faithful unto death. And we know the Bible says that. But do we have that same emotional connection with everything we do? When we make a decision, do we really care about what we're doing, or are we just doing it because the Bible says so? And so, while we all have our reasons why we would say, this is why I would care, there are some reasons that go for all of us. So today, I want to look at four big reasons why you need to care about all of the decisions that you make, why you need to care about making faithful decisions in your life. The first reason is that making faithful decisions, it's encouraging to other Christians. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here, the writer of Hebrews talks about continuing in the faith, right? Holding fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. This is about continuing in the faith and staying strong. But what does this involve? Right? Making faithful decisions isn't just about abstaining from doing wicked things. It's about following all the commands of God. And in verse 24, we're told something that we are supposed to do, and that's to be stirring up love and good works in each other. So when we make a faithful decision, that has an impact on all the people around us. It's encouraging them when they see us to do good works. We can also look at Philippians 1:14, where Paul is talking about how he's gone to prison for preaching the word. And he says in verse 14, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You think about that, you say, why would people become bold to speak the word when Paul just got thrown into prison for it? Well, it's because they see that Paul isn't afraid of what man is going to do to him. Instead, Paul's focused on making a faithful decision. And when they see that, they become confident. They become bold to go out and to preach the word. We can also turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Here, Paul says, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Here, Paul's talking about how their faith, it's encouraging to him. Them living out their faithful lives, them making faithful decisions, that's encouraging him. And what Paul's doing is also encouraging them. Everyone is encouraging each other by the faithful decisions they're making. And because we care about all of the other Christians, because we care about their souls, we need to make faithful decisions because it affects them. It has an impact on them. But not only do we need to make faithful decisions because we care about other Christians, we care about all of the non-Christians. And we have an influence on them by what we do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Actually, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Here, Jesus talks about doing good works, but he talks about the impact that it has on people who are not believers. He says that when you do these things, it causes unbelievers to glorify God. That's what it leads to. There's an impact it has on the world, people who are not believers. We can also turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. And if we actually look up in verse 9, we actually see the same imagery of darkness and light. And then continuing from that, when we get to verse 11, Peter's saying, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Here, Peter talks about both sides of faithful living. Yes, you need to be doing the good works, and you need to be following the commands that God gives, but at the same time, you need to have honorable conduct. You need to be abstaining from all of the wicked things. Both of these are part of making faithful decisions and living a faithful life. And here, he talks about, again, the impact it has on others. He says that they are observing the good works which you do. And as a result of that, it leads to the glorification of God. But then we can also focus a little bit more on this idea of abstaining from evil. We can turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Here, Paul says, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." When we make a decision, that decision either could lead to us being ashamed of what we've done, or it could lead to others being ashamed because they realize that we are following God, that we actually are not doing evil. And if we look at the end of verse 5, it reads, "To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." So it's still the same idea of, because we're not doing anything, because we don't have anything to be ashamed of, if we did, that could actually lead to, instead of the glorification of God, that could lead to the blaspheming of the name of God. And so we need to make faithful decisions and live a faithful life because we have an impact on other Christians, but not just Christians, but on everyone else who isn't a Christian. But not just an impact on all these general people that they may see us once or twice. Maybe we're walking down the road and they see us do a good work and that inspires them. Maybe I should try doing a good work too. But there's also people that we know personally that we can have an even greater impact on. Turn with me to Job chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. In Job chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the person speaking to Job says, "Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled." Job has been someone who has had a positive influence on the people around him, the people who know him, because he's been there for them. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be having a positive impact on people by the faithful decisions that we make. If we're not making faithful decisions, then all the people who are around us, they're not going to be strengthened by what we're doing. They could even be weakened by what we're doing. Turn with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Here, the writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about the impact that someone has on you, this person who's there for you when you need help. And if you are alone, if no one is there to support them, then there's no influence, no positive influence being had on them. And again, if in fact they realize this person, they actually left me, they weren't here for me, that could actually cause a negative impact. And when I read this verse, I think of a video that I once saw. There was a brother, and he was reaching the end of a marathon. And right as he reached the line, he was hit with some heat exhaustion, and he wasn't able to continue in the race, and they were going to pull him out. But then in the video, you see his brother. He was also running in the race, and he comes up from behind him. He takes his arm, he throws it over his shoulder, and he carries him across the finish line. This is what Ecclesiastes is talking about, someone that is there for the people that are close to them. We can also turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Here it reads, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." When you think about iron sharpening iron, you realize, well, if you just bang a piece of iron against another piece of iron, that's not going to sharpen anything. It's going to get pretty blunt. But what the Proverbs writer is talking about here is he's talking about having a good influence on those who are around you. And these influences are made up of what you do. They're made by every decision that you make. And so you need to be making faithful decisions and be living a faithful life, because it also impacts all the people that you know personally that are around you. But then not only does it affect these people, but your decisions can also have an impact on people who aren't around you when you make that decision. They can impact people you never would have guessed it would impact. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." When you think of Timothy's grandmother, when she didn't have a grandson yet, when she didn't have Timothy, she only had her daughter. Right? She was making the faithful decisions which would impact her daughter. She probably wasn't thinking about her grandson and how what she did then would end up having an impact on him in the future. But by the faithful decisions she made, it impacted Timothy's mother. And because it impacted Timothy's mother, she also was able to influence her grandson, Timothy. Turn with me now to Psalm chapter 78, verses 5 through 7. In Psalm chapter 78, verses 5 through 7, we're being told of what God has done. Starting in verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Here, when you think of it, God's system was the first generation would declare it to the second, and then after the second, to the third. And at first, you may only see, okay, it just looks like each person is influencing the people that they're directly declaring it to. But when you think about it, if that first generation didn't make faithful decisions, if they didn't lead a faithful life, if they didn't care about making these decisions and caring about following what God told them to do, then every generation after them wouldn't have received these praises of God. They wouldn't have received all these stories of what God had done. They wouldn't have received all of this encouragement. So their faith impacted many more people than they actually came into contact with. Turn to me now, with me now, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're told about a lot of people, what they've done by faith. And here we can even see an example. We can be encouraged just reading this chapter. We can hear of everything all of these people have done by faith, and that can encourage us. And of course, we never met these people. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we're told something specific about Abel's faith. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." Here they're talking about Abel's faith to make a faithful decision to offer an excellent sacrifice to God. He still speaks through that faith. His faith still has an influence on us all these years later when we can read about him in the book of Genesis. And so you can think about your decisions and the people around you, but they're not just influencing the people who are there. What you do in one moment may influence someone else in a completely different way you never could have imagined. And so because we care about the people who are around us, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, the people that we know personally, or people who we may never even meet, because we care about them, we need to be making faithful decisions and living a faithful life. So we need to care about all of these decisions. So we need to not just live faithfully because it's commanded. We know it's commanded, but we need to actually care. If we think about Luke chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus talks about laying up your treasures. And he says, where you lay up your treasures, that's where your heart will be. But why does it matter where our heart is? Well, because where our heart is, that's what we're going to do. If our heart is of God and it's in heaven, then Those are the things we're going to do. We're going to do the things of God. We're going to do things that lead us to heaven. We're going to have a positive influence on all the people around us. And some people here today, they may realize, I don't think I've been making faithful decisions. They may realize I need to get back on the right path. But other people may realize, I haven't even started on the path. I have never chosen to follow God, but that's something I need to do. Well, in the Bible, we're told exactly what you need to do in order to become a Christian, in order to follow God, in order to do what he says. Mark 16:16, we're told that we have to believe. That if we believe, leads to salvation. And in Acts 3:19, we're told that we need to repent. We need to change our mind from doing the things of the world to doing the things of God, to making faithful decisions. In Romans 10:9, we're told to confess the faith that we have in who Jesus is. And in Acts 2:38, we're told that we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. In Revelations 2:10, again, we're told, be faithful unto death. So if you need to get your life right with God, or if you just want to begin to get your life right with God, you can come to the front as together we stand and sing.